program launched in April that's exploring the birth and nurture of healthy, homegrown, sustainable startups and companies. Mendocino Works is produced in collaboration with West Company, a nonprofit consultancy that provides business advisory services and financial literacy programs to people starting or growing businesses across our county, and with the Recording Arts and Technology Program of Mendocino Community College. I'm your host, Jeff Parker, General Manager here at KZYX. In our previous show 2 weeks ago, we explored the question of whether it's better to start a business fresh or to acquire an ongoing or perhaps even faltering enterprise. And we focused on an interesting example of an acquisition, the rebranding of Ukiah's Ritual Brewpub under its original name, the Ukiah Brewing Company. That interview, along with all previous Mendocino Works shows, is available to listeners on our website, kzyx.org. Pull down the Programs tab and scroll down to Mendocino Works. You can find past programs also in our Jukebox archive at jukebox.kzyx.org. Today we'll be exploring a seemingly 21st century topic that surely applies to startups and ongoing businesses alike: the use of data and technology to build customer loyalty and engagement and to drive sales and services. We'll be talking to a local business advisor and software author, John Kelleher of Community Benchmark, who works with local wineries and other companies to develop and refine their data strategies. And we'll also do a deep dive with a senior manager, Travis Scott of Hanley Cellars, who's putting data to work at local wineries where customer loyalty is an essential motor of sustainability and profits. Before we get started, let me remind listeners that we may be opening the phone lines around 7:40 or 7:45 to take your questions. Our number here in the Philo studio is 707-895-2448. I'll announce that number again later. You can also submit questions by email to DJ@kzyx.org, which I monitor here in the studio. So, joining us here in the studio tonight are two guests who can shed light on this question of putting data and technology in the service of customer loyalty, business development, and sales. John Kelleher is founder of Community Benchmark, a data analytics software company in Willits that, according to his website, hones in on areas of winery sales, a big industry here in our county, where substantial improvement can be attained with better kept, creatively utilized, and shared data, starting in the tasting rooms. John is also an advisor to West Company, a nonprofit business advisory consultancy that is a collaborator with KZYX in the production of this show, Mendocino Works. In his role, he has worked with many companies both in and beyond the wine industry. Also with us tonight is Travis Scott, an associate vice president at Handley Cellars here in Anderson Valley, who's worked with John Kelleher and Community Benchmark on a data-driven strategy for his 35-year-old family winery. Thank you both for coming out to Philo tonight, and welcome to Mendocino Works.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
I think your mic's working there. Let's start with you, John Kelleher. Can you start by telling us a bit about your education and background and how you found yourself providing data services to growing businesses here in Mendocino? I gather you're also not from around here, an East Coast lad, maybe.
Well, yeah, that's right, Jeff. I guess I would characterize myself as a little bit more of a Midwestern boy with strong East Coast influences, actually, because that's where I went to college, and I studied computer science there and also played soccer. And how those two came together for me after college, I did a sort of flurry of software and business projects, but the one that did the best for me was a surprise software for college athletic departments.
So, all right.
So that did really, really, really well. It was a lot of fun, a lot of success, but it actually grew really quickly, a little too big for my britches. So I transitioned that over to better hands and moved to Mendocino County. And the reason why I moved to Mendocino County is because of my passion for sustainable agriculture. When I was in Washington, D.C. doing the tech thing, I was also managing farmers markets, participating in community gardens, that sort of thing. And so when my life opened up 5 years ago now, I looked up Mr. John Jevons, who's outside of Willits on Pine Mountain, and did an internship with them, fell in love with the area, and obviously never left. I got hooked in with West Company because they're, of course, connected with the agricultural community. And Let's see.
I think we may be having a problem with your mic here. Let's see, the phone's ringing.
Could talk a little bit closer.
Testing.
Just keep talking.
Okay.
And we might want to actually have you swing over to the other mic. We'll just do sharesies here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, I got hooked up with West Company, who obviously has their tentacles throughout the county and the business community here. And they had a need at the time, and I stepped in and started working with a lot of the local businesses, and the rest is history.
Okay, I'm going to go back, just because the mic wasn't working so well. I was seeing on the monitor here, it was pretty low. You started a sports kind of marketing data company back in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And what was the role of you had a computer science degree, is that right?
Yes.
And what were you doing with sports and data?
Well, it was actually a customer database is the way I would describe it. And obviously, when you're a college coach or an athletic department, who is your customer? Your customer is your athletes. So that was what the software did, is it tracked the athletes before, during, and after their stint at any given university athletic department.
So you were capturing performance statistics of athletes and then using that to evaluate their performance and potential for better performance.
Exactly. All kinds of data, but really mostly on the relationship side. So the coaches would be, who talked to the kid last, have they filled out this form, what are their parents' names? Just basically record keeping and communications. It was really the emphasis, but yeah, a lot of data generated from that.
Okay, and then your adventures in agriculture, also both in the Washington D.C. area and also out here. Were you continuing to be thinking about where did the seed of this idea of a business in data come from? Were you using data for your agricultural work?
Well, it was absolutely, but I think for Community Benchmark, if that's what you're talking about. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm just thinking about this transition from sports marketing or sports data performance kind of metrics through agriculture to Mendocino,
right.
And then here finding a niche in one of our important agricultural businesses.
Right. Well, I guess the way I've described it is, you can take the boy out of the business, but not the business out of the boy, right? So I came here to pursue my passion in sustainable agriculture. I still have a huge garden. I'm still very connected with that community. But also what I do is work with the business community to try and help them do what they do smarter, better, faster.
Right.
Sort of
now you come to this business as not an agriculture, well, an avocational farmer, but your main thing is computer science. This is what you studied in school, we don't often think about farming and agriculture as being. I mean, it's there. We know that data is there and computer science is there, but why not go and work for Microsoft or Google or something like that?
So you're asking why be an entrepreneur? I mean, it's...
Well, maybe that's the question, sure.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's the American dream to control your own destiny and to innovate and to, try and solve real problems in your community as opposed to, who knows what Microsoft or Google is working on, which are really big, great global problems. But when you're starting your own gig, you get to choose the problems you work on. You get to choose the community you work with. And everything sort of shapes itself more to, your personality and skill set and value to the world.
Right. Now, I was under the impression when we first talked that you were operating as a consultant, but actually you're an author of software, and this company that you've created, the new startup that's maybe only a year old, is Community Benchmark. What is Community Benchmark? And I'm even curious about this name. What's implied by this name?
Yeah, so Community Benchmark in its simplest form is just a way for businesses, local businesses, in this case wineries, to share their most important performance metrics. And by doing so with an online platform, basically at the end of each month, each winery comes in, punches in a few key metrics. They get to see where they're strong and where they can improve on a monthly basis based on what's possible in their neighborhood.
So this is something I didn't realize at all. You're talking about you're creating a community database.
Exactly.
Where each company that's participating can see their own data, and they can see generalized probably data about other
exactly.
companies.
Yeah.
So you prevent them from seeing specific data about their competitors.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so that explains both the community part of it and the benchmark part of it.
You got it, Jeff. Yeah, that's a pretty self-explanatory name when you think about it.
Excellent. So what are you trying to achieve with this? What are your main objectives?
Well, I think, you know, really small businesses, wineries, you know, they face a lot of challenges, and they need to be using data to their fullest advantage. And they need to have the most regular and relevant data so that they can work smart. And so I think really, you know, by helping each individual business in a community, especially in an industry like the wine industry, which is kind of in the destination tourism business, a win for your neighbor. So if Community Benchmark can help one winery step up their game, bring some more traffic to Anderson Valley, that's probably going to be a win for several other wineries as well. And so you can sort of rise that tide that all boats float on.
Right. I'm sure our listeners are out there thinking that this also might stimulate some competition. We can probably talk a little bit with Travis a little bit later about this. You're allowed to, you can see what your competitor, we'll keep with you for a moment. But that's a fascinating kind of concept, that you're creating a community where businesses in an industry are able to watch each other through data and then see patterns that maybe are emerging from other people's data that isn't emerging from theirs. Very, very interesting. This show, we're trying to, Mendocino Works, we're trying to reach local listeners who are either thinking about starting a business or already gotten started and are keen to find ways to improve their service and their sales and their performance. I'd like to step back a little bit to just some fundamentals. How would you, John Kelleher, describe the goal of customer service? Why are we doing this?
I mean, I would say, first of all, I'd emphasize the word service. Right. And how do you offer good service? Well, you got to know your customer, who they are, where they come from, what kind of mood they're in. And how do you know that? You ask good questions. So if you're in a restaurant or a retail store or, you know, a B&B, I think the first thing you got to think about with customer service is, who is my customer? And you got to ask them questions that are engaging, that help you learn who they are so that you can provide the best experience.
So really, this is the first seed, the germ of data. You, rather than seeing how much my sales were last month or what were my costs and my revenues and how did we balance out, you're actually using a specific tool to gather information that then feeds into an algorithm or software that allows you to process that data.
Ideally, you're keeping good records, yes.
So could you give some examples of this? What kind of data you're capturing from the, say from the tasting room? Is this mostly customer focused, or is this also operational, like from the production center and things like that?
Regarding Community Benchmark?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the data that Community Benchmark is tracking, and so just a disclaimer, you know, I'm not one of those guys that's technology for technology's sake, data for data's sake. I like to keep it simple and meaningful. And so the Community Benchmark, when we started out, really just a few key data points. One of the best examples is probably just how many people walk through your door.
Right. On a daily basis, hourly basis, whether it's morning, whether it's midday, whether it's afternoon, that sort of thing.
Exactly. And so I think then to go a step further out of how many people walk through your door. Now, that's your opportunity size, right? And so from there, you want to know how many people actually purchase something in your store. Right. So then you can, for example, divide the people that purchased by the people that visited, and you get a certain percentage or conversion rate of how many people walked through your door that actually bought something. That's a meaningful statistic for you to measure, manage, and compare with similar businesses.
Okay. So you're starting to capture this data over maybe a couple of weeks, a month, a half a year.
Sure.
What do you then do with it? What are you trying to accomplish with it?
You're looking for trends.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for, you know, is my trend flat? Is it going slightly up? Is it going slightly down? With Community Benchmark, a big thing that I talk about is, where are your trends different than your neighbors? Because being able to see that kind of information lets you know that, oh, my traffic went a little bit up, but my neighbors went way up. So if you didn't have your neighbor's data, you would say, oh, my traffic went up a little bit. Okay, cool. But if you did have your neighbor's average and you see, oh, wow, everybody in the neighborhood really went way up, now all of a sudden you start to correlate the data to something your winery did or didn't do in that month, and it gets you to review some of the best practices and really manage so that you can get your numbers to the highest potential.
Send your cousin out to the entry to the other wineries and watch what they're doing.
Well, yeah, research and development, right?
A little research and development.
Yeah, let's go back to you, John.
Okay.
So I don't want to sound naive about this, but we're using this data as if it's this modern, sort of computer age thing, right? Data and technology. But in my mind, this goes back to, just the core principles of business. And I can imagine that, the old general stores and places like Willits and Ukiah and Fort Bragg, they would have had those customer lists. They would have had that data. They would have been aware of when peak times were and when low times were, and maybe using this data to build strategies around how to engage customers. Isn't that kind of we're talking not so different from what we saw before?
Yeah, I guess I think I would say it depends on the business. I think some businesses do a much better job of record keeping than others. So you'd be surprised. You have a wide variety.
In olden days, you might have had organizations like chambers of commerce where the proprietors of the various general stores might actually spend time together and talk about,
right,
do comparisons. What's, what are you finding works, without giving away their trade secrets, but,
right. And they still do. And I think what I'm picking up from you is that, yes, there are tried and true best practices for customer service, and that sort of thing. And those have pretty much, I think, stayed fairly true. I think the difference today is that, the technology, I don't think it fundamentally changes any of those principles. It just makes you more efficient or more intelligent with executing on those principles.
Well, and clearly the big difference from those times till now is, and particularly with the platform that you're talking about, is that you have these benchmarks from other participating similar businesses. What should business owners be thinking about, whether they're still in the business plan stage and haven't even started up yet, or they're actually running a business? What are the data and technology things that they should be thinking about most?
I think a lot of it goes back to record keeping, and I would sort of divide that into two areas. First of all, customer database is number one. Make sure that you have, even if it's just Excel, and you have a list of first name, last name, phone number, email, address, even if you just have that, that's a step in the right direction. So I would say get a list of your customers in a format that you can look through and utilize. And then I think the other thing is, obviously we all know in a for-profit business, it boils down to the bottom line. And how do you get to the bottom line? Well, it's revenue minus costs. And that's what I would say is that when you're in a particular business, you have key metrics that really indicate how much revenue you're generating or why you're not generating enough revenue. And so I think for each business, you do need to do your financial projections, of course, to make sure it pencils out. But I would take it just one step further and try and identify, don't go crazy with it, but just find a few key metrics that you think are going to be important to managing your business and making sure that the numbers are headed in the right direction.
Right. I wonder if you could give us an example or two of particularly excellent uses of data that have that you've helped to implement that have transformed a business or have taken it to a new level.
Right. So I guess the customer service story that I like that was obviously pretty recent was a business out on the coast that had a list of several hundred, probably even more customers in their database, right? And we were looking at some of their numbers, some of their metrics that we've devised, and they were not going in the right direction. So the question was, what do we do?
This was a retail business.
More or less.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the question is, what do we do? You know, obviously something needs to change, but what? So because he had this customer database list and because of the email marketing technology out there that you that makes it really efficient to email a large group of people in a personalized way, he simply emailed everyone in his customer database and said, "Hey, you know, listen, I'm the owner. I really appreciate your business. I wondered if you could take a couple minutes and just tell me what you liked about your experience of our business and maybe what you didn't." Very simple, very easy. And he got back a whole slew of responses that you could find patterns in and then utilize for what to do about your numbers going in the right direction.
So this is before benchmarking with other businesses. This is just one sole a business with a product in the market or a series or maybe a retail storefront that's selling things, but wanting to have engage in a conversation with the customer.
Right, exactly. And this is all work that I did through West Company.
Right. And so those services are, I guess those are consulting services that West Company is providing.
Exactly. Yeah. And West Company provides, you know, we have a whole team of experts that can be applied to whatever the business problem is at hand. So whether it's financial or HR or sales, you know, we can put together someone that has pretty deep expertise in that issue and help you with your business.
Right. A little bit of full disclosure here. Again, I'll say West Company is a collaborator in the production of this program, Mendocino Works. They are a nonprofit. They're not a for-profit business. And
right.
They're one of the real gems of this county for helping small businesses, startups, even established businesses to do this sort of thing, to look at the nature of their business, to look at the nature of their operations, and see if there's areas and scope for improvement. And it's tough out there, particularly in the retail space where and I have to say, on my road, half the vehicles these days are either, you know, FedEx or you know, UPS dropping off packages from the big online folks.
And that's why I think customer relationship management, customer service is so important. If you have a shop in the county that people are visiting, it's pretty much your only differentiator, right? Because people can often find what you're offering online for cheaper. But so why are they going to buy it from you? It's because of the experience they have when they come into your store, the connection that you establish with them. And so I think that that's why customer service is really so important.
Yeah, I will get a little bit into this a little bit later, but I think what you're indicating or suggesting is that the sale of an item, of a good, of a product is actually an act of service. It's you're engaging in a you're shifting your focus from selling a thing to providing a service.
Exactly. Yeah, and just being helpful. And it may not always end up in a sale, and that's fine.
Before we shift over to Travis from Handley, we are trying to encourage people to think about starting up businesses. I'm curious about when in the process of developing a new business should the entrepreneur be thinking about this kind of data strategy, data collection strategy? Is it after you start up? Is it before you? When in that process? Is it part of your business plan?
Well, I'd say definitely before you open your doors. You know, I think when I think of a business plan, I think of, you know, coming up with a compelling idea and a reason why you can do it better than anyone else, and then some basic financial numbers to make sure that you can do it profitably. And then I think once you get far enough that it starts to become more than just an idea, more than just a plan, and you're starting to think about how am I going to grow this business? What are the operations going to look like? I think that's when you really probably start to hone in on what's going to be your customer data strategy.
So a cost in your business plan surely would be more than just a paper ledger for keeping your data. You'd want to have a way of data of inputting your data into a digital format probably a computer or maybe even a cloud service where you can load your data up and have it accumulate over time and maybe even accumulate even before you start selling because you're presumably talking to customers even before you open your doors.
Yeah. And like I say, Excel is a great close to free tool that if you can't do anything else, you can probably use it for a lot of what you're trying to do.
I'll say this, there are free equivalents. There are things like LibreOffice,
OpenOffice, Google Sheets.
There are a lot of things out there that you can use where you don't have to pay a company like Microsoft for a license to use something. Yeah. Free licenses that are out there and very, very useful and very similar.
Right.
So I was thinking about what the costs are of getting involved in this, but I'd like to flip that question around and say, what are the costs of not doing this? If you're starting a business?
Well, I don't know how you manage a business without this kind of information. I mean, I would say that maybe you aren't managing your business. I mean, you can hustle and you can work hard and you can probably, that can pay off to a certain degree. But, you know, again, when you're a small business owner and there's a lot of cards stacked against you, you know, you need to be doing everything you can to work more efficiently and more intelligently. And that's where data and technology can help you out.
And I think our entrepreneurs should be thinking they shouldn't be frightened by this, that this is just a normal part of doing business intelligently.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that the hardest thing about trying to do anything with data and technology is just getting started. So that's why I would say, you know, like I said before, I'm not a data and technology for data and technology's sake kind of guy. What I think you should do is you should think about, you know, what are my most important processes and tasks that I'm going to be doing most frequently, and can I automate them in some way or make them more efficient?
Build them in as part of your processes.
Yes. Yeah. And then also, you know, what are going to be the key things for me to pay attention to as I open my doors, as people start coming in? What are the indicators that I can start to watch and correlate to things that I'm doing or not doing in my business, and then adapt and change your best practices to make sure that those numbers are going in the right direction.
Good. I'm going to ask listeners to bear with us while we swing the microphone over to Travis Scott. We had one microphone malfunction, so we're sharing three people with two mics. Let's shift now to Travis Scott, who's been putting these data technology strategies to work at one of our many fine Mendocino County wineries, and that would be Handley Cellars in the old Holmes Ranch at the north end of Anderson Valley. Travis, welcome to Mendocino Works.
Thanks, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Can you start by giving us a brief overview of your own background and what led you into the business of running data-driven customer loyalty efforts at Handley?
Well, I've been in the wine industry for a decade now. Started out kind of by chance, really. I went to nursing school first and decided that wasn't for me, so while I was in nursing school, I was an administrative assistant at a winery in the Sonoma Valley. And a couple of years into that position, the general manager left unexpectedly, and the owner of the winery stood in front of us all in a conference room and said, "Who knows how to do his job?" And I raised my hand and became the general manager of a 75,000 case a year winery.
Wow.
And I love this business, so that's why I'm still here.
You are local. You're from the area?
I am. I'm from Willits.
Okay. Yeah. So a lot of listeners out there are probably listening tonight.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I found Handley Cellars about 4 years ago, and started as the tasting room manager, and really realized that there was a lot that could be done. You know, it was a 32-year-old business at that time, and the opportunities of having that history behind us were endless for us, really. So that's where I really started to kick in the tools that I had learned in the larger winery, you know, in the Sonoma Valley, for Handley Cellars.
So the Sonoma Valley winery was probably at 75. That was probably maybe four or five times the size of Handley.
Exactly.
Right.
We saw about 400 visitors a day.
Okay. Now we tend to think about family wineries as maybe lower tech, you know, and this is a bias of, you know, an outsider perhaps.
Absolutely.
But surely the various departments have been keeping data for all those years, the 32 years before you arrived.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about that development of Handley's data operations over the year? How did it start, and where was it when you arrived?
Well, you know, you know, they did a great job with keeping records. There's still an attic full of of all kinds of records from day one.
Ledgers. Papers.
Exactly. Okay. So in 1999 was when they implemented our most current computer system, which is our customer resource management system.
So that was a digital platform.
Digital platform.
The year of our founding here at KZYX. Okay.
And, you know, that it's a really broad system, and it runs in production back office as well as our customer and tasting room operations. But it gave me the opportunity to take all those years of history and take the data out of it, start separating it out so that I could target specific guests, specific customers of ours, and to best target them.
And had that not been being done before? The data had been collected for a reason.
Right. And it had been done in a general manner, but never really taking the data and digesting it.
And looking for
trends.
Okay.
And looking for you know.
So tell me now about this is, you've been there 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. Have you expanded on that infrastructure, added new technology? What are you spending a lot of time with software and with computers, or are you talking, you know, sitting at the bar talking to people?
Well, I wish it was the latter, but no, we do spend a lot of time with my face in a computer analyzing data, but you know, I have a higher level job that requires me to do more of that. The simple structures of it, the building blocks are very simple, and they take a very minimal amount of time. There's three main things that I want to talk about today that I use to, you know, from the consumer or guest end of operating Handley Cellars. And the first one is finding yourself a really strong email marketing platform.
Okay.
That's one of my strongest sales generators is email marketing. You know, we are an old winery. We have been established for many years, so we have a large list. But, you know, it didn't come to us overnight. You have to, you know, slowly build that list. Right. Ask every guest that comes into your establishment to sign up on your email list. You know, offer them an incentive to sign up on your email list. You know, let them know that there's going to be specials out there. There's going to be, you know, this and that coming. Maybe you're having a special event that, you know, they could be invited to. Those are the things, and that's one of the main things.
So this is even before the benchmarking strategy. This is a pure communication. It's using technology to communicate with your customers.
Right. And if you find a good email marketing platform, it will give you analytics that you can really study and learn what the best ways to craft an email are to your specific consumer.
Are these things like the big cloud-based services that are out there? MailChimp?
MailChimp, exactly. Constant Contact. You know, all of those are fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used several of them to find which one that I like the best. Mm-hmm. And I have found mine, and I've used it for a couple of years now, and it's fantastic.
And it's aggregating data for you, you're saying?
Absolutely. It sends data back to me after I send a campaign that tells me how many people opened it, what demographic of people opened it, the time of day it was opened, offers suggestions as ways to create the email so that it is better received.
Do those things really matter when what time of day people open things? I guess so.
Absolutely. If I want them to click through and buy a bottle of wine, I'm not sending them to them at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, 2 or 3 in the afternoon's a great time to hit people up for wine purchases.
And it's the data that shows you this.
Correct. Exactly.
Because you know when somebody is opening their emails.
Exactly.
Fantastic. That's really interesting. Before you get to the second and third points that mm-hmm. you wanted to raise, we're at the bottom of the hour, and I wanted to say that you're listening to Mendocino Works here on KZYX. This is a story about business, a show about business and startups and how to improve the performance of businesses. In maybe a quarter of an hour or so, we'll be taking calls, and the number for that is 707-895-2448. You can also send us emails at dj@kzyx.org. We're speaking with John Kelleher, who's the founder and chief guy over at Community Benchmark.
Chief guy.
I can't remember what your title is, chief executive or something like that. at Community Benchmark up in Willits, which is a data and software analytics company that's working very closely with wineries here in our county, helping them to understand how their performance varies and how it can be improved. We also have with us Travis Scott, who's the data wonk guy. And I'm creating titles as we go. Over at Handley Cellars here in Anderson Valley. Pushing along here, at a small winery like Handley, I guess there is a large portion of your sales are local, but a large portion are also to people from out of town. And I think the data is also going to help you to understand the trends that come along with that. So correct. It's not just who walks in the door. It's maybe who orders.
Right. Absolutely. So, honestly, we live in a small community. Mendocino County as a whole, population-wise, is small.
89,000.
Yeah. Think, so, local purchasers are about 7% of our business. About 7% of our business. The rest are out-of-county purchasers.
You said 7%?
7%.
Okay. That's smaller than I anticipated, but I shouldn't be surprised.
The rest are visitors from mm-hmm. out-of-county. And I have tracked those to the largest, counties and regions and areas within the state and the United States, again, for targeting purposes.
Where
was I going
with
that?
Yeah, you're tracking, because of this capture of data,
right.
Maybe it's the capture of data that arises when a customer opens an email, and maybe the capture of data that arises when they make a purchase. Mm-hmm. It may be capture of data that arises when somebody walks into the tasting room.
Exactly. So one of the big things that I work with my staff on in capturing their data, et cetera, is that when a customer or consumer walks in our door, they are a guest. They're not a customer. They're a guest. We're providing guest service. Back to what John said about service. With that, it's getting to know your guest and reading them and getting information out of them to help you better serve them throughout that visit in the tasting room or once they've left the winery and we're going to contact them via phone, email, or what have you. So really capturing that data and keeping track of it is a fundamental part of, making this really work. And right. You've got to push that to your staff.
Now, we call the show Mendocino Works, and we're thinking about what works. In an organization, small or large, you have people in different departments doing different things. You have shipping and receiving. You have your winemakers. You have your people in the tasting room. You have all kinds of people doing different things. As you capture this data and become aware of these trends, how does that translate into behaviors and management in the organization so that the data is actually accomplishing something?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm going to really keep that focused more towards the tasting room and hospitality side of this,
okay.
of this, just because we're going to get way off track with many other data sets and what have you. So
okay.
I think it's better to keep this in line with that. It's been difficult, I will tell you, to implement some of these things. People get set in their ways, and it's hard to ask different things, change the questions that you ask and what have you.
There's a lot of lore in the wine business, right?
Right.
Oh, women like white wine, men like those
exactly.
kinds of things. And the data might be telling you something completely different.
Exactly.
What do you do then?
Then you take that data and you market towards it
uh-huh.
and see if it works. And most of the time it does. There's very few times that I've found that it hasn't worked.
Can you remember any instances where the data really surprised you or something jumped out of the data with a trend that you never anticipated?
Yeah, actually, and this was one that I asked my staff to weigh in on today before I came out here. And a couple of years ago, we at Handley Cellars went through a restructure process. And unfortunately, we lost some employees, which made us really look at our wine club, which is, our biggest revenue stream in the year.
And a wine club is where you have – it's a loyalty program where people who buy in volume can get lower prices.
Right. They take two automatic shipments a year. But that downsizing really made us focus on our wine club and see, you know, are we gonna see losses in our wine club because people have, you know, our wine club members have had relationships with certain employees that aren't there, or are they gonna feel like they don't belong as a member with a restructure process? And, you know, it gave the staff and I the chance to really dive into our customer resource management system, really look at our guests, look at their sales profiles, their histories, what they come to us and talk about, what they're looking for when they call us. And we got to really create more personalized packages for them. We got to create more efficient ways to manage the shipping of those process of those packages and things like that, which actually made our retention stand strong because they were actually getting service that was focused more on them rather than, you know, a block of people that all have different preferences and you're sending one general thing to them.
So you're using using data to tailor an experience to customers who might have been through the Anderson Valley once 10 years ago or 5 years ago, maybe have never been here before, maybe come once a year, but really are probably more likely far away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what we do.
And so it's the data that allows you to understand and get inside the heads of those customers and really understand what drives them.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly.
So we're still a few minutes away from taking calls here, but can you tell us an instance where something didn't work, where you took a strategy that you thought that was driven by some data, but it kind of didn't pan out?
You know, I was talking about that today again with the staff, and we haven't fallen flat on our face with anything yet. Mm-hmm. There have been things that were like, might not have been the right time of year to offer that, but it wasn't unsuccessful. It just wasn't as successful as we thought it was going to be. So that really led us to look at the data even deeper and find out, okay, what's the best time of year to make that offer?
Okay. We are going to open the phones here. I hope that there's some listeners who have some questions. I'm a little bit new at this, answering the phones, but we'll do our best. The number here is 707-895-2448. Bear with us again. We're sharing one microphone for two guests, and we'll add complexity by taking your calls if you can. Call us at 707-895-2448, and we'll continue to talk. I am curious about this benchmarking piece now. I understand that you're not the only you're using the community benchmark software. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
How long have you been doing that? What's that been like?
It's been fantastic, actually. That was one of the things that is really huge for us in our data, and it has been for the past year. John came to me a little over a year ago and said, "Hey, I've got this idea. What do you think about it?" And instantly, I was jumping up and down, going, "Yes, yes, yes! This is awesome."
Why yes?
Well, because here's the thing. In the wine industry, we have a set of, you know, industry standards and numbers that are published for us that we can go to and we can compare ourselves to. But in reality, we're the Anderson Valley.
I'm just jumping. Are those numbers collected by the state or by?
No, there's different publications, industry publications.
Okay, and they're doing surveys. They ask you what your annual volume is, what your sales levels are, those kinds of things, and you selectively divulge information that you feel comfortable.
Correct.
Divulging. So imperfect, but some data out there.
Right. But this, you know, we're in the Anderson Valley. We're not a normal, you know, Napa, Sonoma wine region. So it's hard to take that data and really use it for anything concrete because we're such a different region. We're a lot farther away. We're a lot smaller. You know, we don't have the lodging. You know, we could go on and talk about how we're different. But
I lived in China for a long time, and there are housing complexes outside Beijing called Napa Valley.
Right.
I never saw one called Mendocino or Anderson Valley yet. It's still time. There's still time.
So when John came to me and sat down and was explaining what he was trying to put together, and he said, "Hey, you know, and it's regionally specific," I was like, "Bingo! Yeah, absolutely. This is brilliant. Why would I not want to know be able to compare myself to a standard that is a baseline in our region.
So when you came into the community benchmark program, there was you, one winery. How many others were involved at that time?
John, maybe two, three?
Yeah.
So two or three of us.
A small community to benchmark against. But right. Still, even if you were benchmarking against one other winery, not knowing who it was.
Exactly.
You might have known who it was if there's only two. It's pretty easy to guess, but I imagine John's got pretty tight lips about that.
Absolutely.
But still, you were able to compare yourself suddenly with something that wasn't just data coming in from a trade magazine, but something that was being collected by a rival company or a competitor company
that was
voluntarily submitting data in a format that was standardized.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. So, and John did it in a great way where when he got people on board, he asked them to go back in the calendar year and enter their data from the beginning of the year, beginning of when this started, so that as they added their data and people came on board, they could instantly look at January and see, oh, well, now there's 10 wineries that are participating and we're all back to January. We can all see January. So, you know, it really grew nicely that way. And we started to really get a lot of really good, strong data out of it.
Did you notice striking differences between your operations and others in aggregate or specific? Were you able to look at specific other wineries without names attached?
Yes. Yes. We could look at specific other lines on the chart, so to speak, that are, you know, anonymous. But what was great for me was to be able to look at, you know, December, let's say, and say, okay, well, there were only 40 people through my tasting room in December, but, you know, Winery B had 160. How did I miss that 160 people? What did I do wrong? And so that was instant. I got to look at December and say, okay, this is, I need to figure something out because I'm not capturing that portion of guests.
Yeah, and I think that this is
John Keller. Yeah, this is John chiming in.
The way that I think I remember having that conversation with Travis, and I remember him looking at it and saying, "Damn, you know, I knew December was slow, and so we just sort of figured it was slow, but I didn't realize we were leaving some opportunities on the table here. Like we need to step up our game in December because there's clearly more potential than I realized."
So there were trends that were jumping off the page, right, that you wouldn't have known about otherwise had it not been for this community benchmarking software.
Exactly.
Interesting. What else did you learn from that? What else did you see? What else did you find?
I found several interesting things. I found, we may not have the greatest amount of guests walking in our front door, but we have a really fantastic conversion rate, which means, you know, visitor to purchaser.
So how many bottles are purchased by each person who walks in?
Or just how many people walk in and how many people actually buy something.
Okay.
That's the next conversion we can find out, is how many people buy something and how many bottles they buy.
Right.
So, I mean, it really goes down the line and is very thorough.
And where did you notice that there were striking differences between various wineries in that regard?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, John, you have something to say?
Yeah, just to take this up a notch and from getting down into some of the specific conversion rates, I think, you know, when you're a business out there, a retail business, and you're looking at, you know, what are my sales trends and how can I work on them, I think that, you know, it's helpful to break it out into two big issues. There's the number of people that come visit you, so what you do to get people to your front doorstep. And that's a whole set of issues and marketing tactics and et cetera, signage, et cetera. And then there's what you do with the customer after they come in and visit your shop. And that's when you find out things like, did they sign up for your email list? Did they purchase something? How much? And that sort of thing. And so I think that when Travis is talking about looking at community benchmark, what he's saying is, you know, we were stronger on what we did with those customers after they came into our doors than maybe we were at getting them to our front door. And so perhaps an opportunity to work on is some strategy to drive traffic to his doorsteps, because he knows that his staff is doing such a great job once they walk through those doors. But if he can just get more people to walk through those doors, that's where he can focus his energies.
So the data is suggesting kind of an if-then strategy, that if if you do this, then things that you know are likely to happen will happen.
Correct.
Okay. We do have a call coming in, and I'm going to try and push the right button here and see if we can make this work. Caller, you're on the air with Mendocino Works. You have a question?
Why, hello there. I absolutely do. First of all, I live in Willits here. My name is Raymond, and I want to give a big shout-out to Mr. John. I had sat down with him actually about a couple months ago, and he had really astounded me with kind of the business that he was starting to do and then the drive that he actually had for it. And I love hearing you guys. I've been listening the whole hour, and I love the detail and especially the customer focus that's been really going on this hour.
Thank you, Raymond.
Absolutely.
Have you got a question?
And, I do, but I want to bring it back, and I want to bring it back kind of to the basics, and I want to see each of you being business operators, and Travis, I haven't met you yet, but you sound like a wonderful human being. Where do you guys plan to see yourselves in a 20-year period, both operations-wise as the actual business and perhaps volume? Where do you want to be? You know, like, give me the specifics of where do you plan to see yourselves in a 20 years. So caller, I want to hear a little bit about that in the last 10 minutes.
Caller, who would like to hear first? Would you like to hear John or Travis?
You know, whoever, even Rochambeau.
We'll start with John.
Question. Hey, I can't wait to hear you guys' answers. You're both probably phenomenal. John, big shout out to you. I know your business is going to go far. You guys have a great one.
Thanks so much. John?
20 years, that's a big question. You know, when was the last time you were asked about the next 20 years? But I guess I would just say that, you know, for me, what Community Benchmark is trying to do is help small business communities thrive and stick around, because for me, you know, when I think about the world I want to live in and I want to visit, it's places like Anderson Valley and Mendocino County. It's not Disneyland, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I think Community Benchmark, what I hope it does is help these small business communities do a better job, work smarter, not harder, and basically stick around and create the world that I want to live in is essentially how I would describe it.
How about you, Travis?
So I've got a very similar answer. You know, the 20-year thing is a little difficult, but what I can say is that, you know, my goal for Handley Cellars long range is not to become a huge mega winery. That's not who we are. It's not in our DNA. It's not what Mila started. What we are is a community-focused business that is sustainable for our employees. It's sustainable for our community surrounding us, and it's sustainable for the guests and purchasers that enjoy our product. We just want to have a solid business that lasts for another 35 years.
Yeah, you know, this occurs to me to ask another question to John. You may swing the mic over there. We've been talking mainly about wineries tonight. Wineries here are special in that we have really terrific conditions for growing and making wines. But a lot of other businesses are not the same. Retail, for example, or
right.
Grocery stores.
Right.
Is there a way that this benchmarking technology could be applied to other business areas, and what might they be?
Absolutely. I think the most logical fit for other small business communities are probably going to be those that are in kind of the destination tourism space. So, for example, here in Mendocino County, one that comes to mind is the bed and breakfasts,
hospitality,
and the lodging on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where it gets really interesting is when people from the wine industry might want to know lodging information, like when weekends are all booked up and they may need to staff up their tasting rooms because they're going to have a lot of traffic. So I think that the most logical fit is going to be businesses that are part of a community already, especially in the destination space. But, you know, getting back to my agriculture passion, I think farmers markets is another place, you know, that this could,
and individual farms.
Yeah, exactly.
Benchmarking against each other.
Yeah.
We do have other calls coming in here. I'm going to take another call. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hi, this is Matt. Yeah, I have a question for John.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So my question is, I'm wondering how this data collection and software could possibly transfer to the legal cannabis industry that we're seeing growing in Mendocino County, and if there are things that growers and distributors that are coming up in this county could do in order to be more profitable and to support like the their local industry using his software, if this is something that is possible to transfer from wine to cannabis.
Have you gone there yet, John?
You know, I guess the simple answer is I don't see why not. I think it's plain and simple. I think that, you know, the farmers would be one audience, but I think the most natural fit would be the retail shops, you know, because that's essentially what a tasting room is as well. So I think a lot of the metrics and stuff would be fairly similar. And, you know, going back to my talk about the destination situation here, you know, if Mendocino County becomes a tourist spot for canna tourism or whatever they're calling it, I think that, you know, absolutely.
Okay, we have another call coming in. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hang on. Let me.
Yeah, turn down your radio.
No, I'm online.
Okay.
Suppose you have a successful sideline and need actually investments to make it into a business, but I don't want to be in business. I'd like to give somebody an opportunity to turn what I do into a business for their own benefit. It would cost about $10,000 to get the licensing and all the cha-cha-cha-cha. And the reason my business has gotten expanding is because it's good. People like what I do, what I make. And I think it could be a business for some younger people. I'm a senior citizen. I make stuff, and it's delicious. And county and state regulations make it all impossible for me to afford turning it into a business. If somebody wants to turn my formulas into a business, I'd like to know how to do that.
John, you have some thoughts on that?
I mean, I think this gentleman's an excellent candidate for West Company Services because, you know, I think a lot of small business owners out there, you know, they get into the business because they're great at making pasta sauce or apple pies or wine or whatever, but they need some help with the business side of things, the finance, the marketing. In this gentleman's case, I think he's probably trying to figure out how can I describe and package up what I'm doing and present it to someone else in a way that would make them excited about taking it on. And I think that if he were to, you know, look up West Company and talk to some of the folks there, he'd probably get a good couple steps in the right direction.
Yeah, I think this maybe points us in a direction of a future show where we might want to talk to people who are reaching the end of their business life and want to have a happy retirement but don't want to just drop their business and maybe look at transition to other owners, to other operators. I think I'd agree with you. West Company is probably a great resource for that because so many people are going into West Company and looking for that kind of assistance.
Yeah, and I think that absolutely. I think that's one of probably the more common ways that businesses transition, especially in this county, is someone that's been doing it for a while and is looking for the next generation to take it over. And how do we navigate that transition?
You know, that we're down to the final minutes of the show. We haven't really gone into any of the great detail that I'd hope we get to, but I think we've covered a lot of ground. The big surprise for me was the benchmarking aspect of this, that you're creating communities of similar businesses and allowing them to kind of look at each other without necessarily looking at the actual identity of those companies, but at least knowing how your competitors or your fellow companies are doing in the same space that you're in. Any final thoughts on that, Travis?
No, thanks so much for having us here. This has been great. Love to share what we do and what John's come up with here. It's been excellent for us in my business, and I hope more people jump on board and take advantage of it.
If people had questions that they wanted to put to you, could they reach you at Handley?
Absolutely.
How would they do that?
By phone at 707-895-3876 or email travis@handleysellers.com.
And I think any listener out there who's thinking about doing a business or is in a business is looking at ideas of possible benchmarking or just getting into into a deeper exploration of data as a tool for improving business could usefully contact West Company or John directly. John, how are you open to being contacted for things like this?
Sure. And, you know, John at westcompany.org, I think, would be the best way. I think one quick closing thought I have is that if you're a business owner or a person who's thinking about starting a business out there, I really think that the customer and their perspective on what you're doing is at least as important as your own. So I really encourage you, if, like I said, if you're operating a business or you're starting a new one, really try and get into the shoes of your customer and figure out what makes them tick, what they want, because at the end of the day, you could come up with the greatest apple pie ever, but if nobody, if your customers don't like it and they don't continue to like it, you're not really going to have a business. So
whether you're in New York City, a big city, or in San Francisco, or you're here in a huge but sparsely populated Mendocino County, know your customer. That's the gospel, is know your customer.
Yeah.
Listen to your customer, get into their heads, and use whatever tools you have to do so. Well, thank you very much for coming in. That's all the time we have tonight. On behalf of our partners, West Company, and the Recording Arts and Technology Program at Mendocino Community College, I'd like to thank our guests, John Kelleher of Community Benchmark and Travis Scott of Hanley Sellers, as well as...